So Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 121 is found in the book of Psalms, of course. But the book of Psalms is really divided into four different books. For example, chapter 1 to chapter 41 is one book. Then chapter 42 to chapter 72 is another book. Well, Psalm 121 is found in the last book of the book of Psalms. It is one of the songs that is referred to, and if you look at the head of your Bible, it is called a Song of Ascents. Song of Ascents. And so Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134 are in the same category of a Song of Ascents. And these psalms are called the Psalms of Ascents because the Israelites, when they were going up to Jerusalem on one of the feast days, they would sing these songs as they are on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple. And of course, the temple is located on a hill, a mountain. And so as they go to Jerusalem, as they go to the temple, they are actually ascending a hill. They're going up. And so that's the reason why these psalms, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, are referred to as the Songs of Ascents. Songs of Ascents. And very likely, these songs were sang in groups as the Israelites throng up to the temple. In this particular psalm, Psalm 121, it seemed as if it was sung antiphonal. For example, one group will sing the first line or the first verse, and another group will respond by singing the second verse as they march up to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the key word in Psalm 121 is not difficult to find. The key word in Psalm 121 is the word keep or keeper. If you're using another Bible, it could be watch or preserve or protect. It is used six times in Psalm 121. I want to point them out to you. In verse 3, notice it says, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you. That's the first place it's mentioned. Notice in verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel. That's the same word. In verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Three times. Then in verse 7, it is mentioned two times. Notice, the Lord will keep you. Some versions use the word protect or preserve. Same word. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And then in verse 8, it is mentioned once. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Now, in my translation, it says the Lord will guard So there are different synonyms, but the same word in Hebrew. The Hebrew word shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, the word for keep, the word for guard, protect, preserve, and so on. When the Bible says that God keeps, it speaks of him as the one who takes great care of his children. The God who takes watchful care of his children and preserves them and protects them from danger. Very interesting. You recall in Genesis chapter 4, when God came to the two brothers, after, in fact, Cain killed Abel, and God asked him about his brother, and Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's the same word there. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, God is our keeper. He is our guardian. Our guardian. And there are many children today who have parents, but they also have guardians. In fact, some of them, their parents are their guardians. And the guardians are responsible for, you know, taking them to school, picking them up after school, giving them lunch, feeding them, washing them, and just taking care of them and protecting them from danger. And that is the idea here behind the word keep. The Lord is our guardian. He is our keeper. He is our protector. He preserves us. This psalm, Psalm 121, has given much comfort to God's people, much comfort and assurance to many in times of trouble. Because this psalm is a great psalm. It's a psalm of blessing. It's a psalm of great comfort, knowing that God is our guardian, that he will protect us, that he will keep us. And so, this psalm here is written for our encouragement. It is written for our comfort. It is written to encourage us. And as I said before, the psalm was sung by the faithful Israelites as they go on pilgrim to the temple of Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feast days. And as we look at the psalm, I want us to liken this psalm as and apply to our lives as those who are on pilgrimage. That's what the Christian life is. In fact, life in general is like a pilgrimage. And when you go on pilgrimage, there is a beginning and there is an ending. And so this psalm comforted the people of Israel as they go on pilgrimage up to Jerusalem and even back to their homes. Back to their homes. So let us look at this psalm, and I trust that you will be encouraged as it also encouraged me. So I want you to notice, first of all, that the psalmist begins by expressing his great confidence in the Lord, the source of his help. He begins by expressing great confidence in the Lord, the source of his help. Notice he says, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains." And then the question, "From whence cometh my help?" And so the psalm begins with this great statement of assurance, great statement of faith in the Lord. Now notice the psalmist begins by saying, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains." Now this could either mean that the psalmist has come to the point here and He sees the mountain upon which the temple is built. He's in the vicinity of the temple and he sees the mountain. And he looks up. Another way to look at this is to say that the psalmist and the people of Israel, as they begin this pilgrimage to the temple, on their way to the temple in Jerusalem, there are many dangers that they would face as they march up to Jerusalem. In fact, mountains were considered to be places of great danger. The journey to the temple was actually fraught with many, many dangers. But I believe the psalmist here is thinking of the fact that he approaches the temple in Jerusalem and he sees the mountain and he says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. In fact, anyone who is in great anxiety looks up. And so the psalmist looks up to the mountain. But notice, he does not put his trust in the mountain. His help does not come from the mountain. And so he asks the question, from whence shall my help come? That's a great question that anyone can ask, even today. Where does your help come from? Where does my help come from? Well, the psalmist answers the question as he ponders in his heart and in his mind. He says, my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Not from the mountain, but from the Lord, he says, Yahweh. And then he describes the Lord as the one who is responsible for the existence of heaven and earth. And so notice how he describes the Lord. In verse 2 he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord who made heaven and earth. Very interesting word that's used here. He does not say the Lord who created the heaven and the earth. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, which I believe is the most important verse in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the word that's used in Genesis is the word bara. That's the word for create. If I could speak a little Hebrew here, please permit me. I'll just read verse 1 in Genesis. It says, Bereshith bara Elohim et hamashamayim v'et haaretz. The word for heaven, shamayim. And the word for earth, Eretz. But the word he uses here for the way heaven and earth came into existence is the word bara. But the word he uses in Psalm 121 is a different word. And what I think the difference is this. The word bara speaks of that which is created out of nothing. Right, God created the universe ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. And so in Genesis chapter 1, we read in the first verse of how the heavens and earth came into existence. They came into existence because God created the universe. He called them into existence. However, in Psalm 121, the psalmist says, the Lord who is not the creator, God is the creator, of course, but he doesn't use the word. He says God is the maker of heaven and earth. And what I think the psalmist is implying here is not only the fact that God brought the heavens and the earth into existence, but God is the one who actually preserves the heavens and the earth, or heaven and earth. God did not only create, but he also preserves his creation. And the same God who created the heaven and the earth and preserved them, he is the same God to whom the psalmist is putting his trust. And so if God can preserve heaven and earth, how much more will he not preserve us who are created in his image and who are his very children? You recall in Psalm 8, the psalmist asked the question, what is man that you take care of him, and the son of man that you even consider him? Well, the answer is that God cares for us because we are made in his image and in his likeness. And so in Psalm 121, as the pilgrims march up to Jerusalem, they would sing, oh, the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth. And just as he preserves what he created, even so, he will take care of his children in the midst of danger. And I think that's important for us. That should be encouraging for us as God's children, those of us who know God, especially in these days, in the midst of, you know, we pray that no one will get sick with this virus. But God will take care of his children, right, as was mentioned earlier by Rona. If God takes away, would we still lift up our eyes to him? But we should lift up our eyes to him. We should. And one of the amazing things about being a child of God, and I have said this before to myself, and I'm sure I've said it from this pulpit here, that, you know, our lives are not meant to be fully started, lived and, you know, fulfilled here on earth. You know, when at the end of 2020, we often say, oh, I made it through 2020. And that's good. That's great. We've made it through. But I often think about that statement, we've made it through. But you know what? The people who are believers and Christians and didn't make it through, and then physically they died, they actually made it through also. They may not be here with us on earth, but if they belong to Christ and they have died and went to glory, they are really in a better place than us. And so it's okay for us to say, yes, we made it through. But let us not use that statement in the sense that our lives are only fixed upon this earth here. Because we are on pilgrimage, and our pilgrimage will not end in this life. And I'll touch on this a little later on in my message. And so the psalmist continues in secondly, and that ties in with the first thing he says. Because God is our guardian, because he is the maker of heaven and earth, it means that he will keep us secure. He will keep us secure. Notice in verses 3 and 4, he says, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Just imagine a child who has a guardian or a parent who never sleeps, but always watches over a child. What a guardian that would be. Well, God is such a guardian to us. He will not allow, in other words, he will not give. That's the Hebrew word here, the word give. The word Nathan in the English name Nathan comes from the Greek word Nathan, which means to give. He will not give your foot to slip. And for our foot to slip means that it deviates from the right course. A deviation from the right course. Or a retirement from walking with God. And as God's people, as God's children, we never deviate from the Lord. We never retire in our walk with him. But notice the scripture says, the psalmist says, it is God who will not allow our foot to slip. Because he is the one who keeps us. Oh, how many times as human beings, we are tempted to give up and retire. How many times our foot may have slipped away and we deviate from the course of our Christian walk with God. But thank God, it is not we that keep ourselves. God is the one who keeps us. And it's very clearly stated here. He will not allow your foot to slip. That's a prohibition. God prohibits our foot from slipping. You know, it's like when you see a sign on someone's lawn, do not walk. Right? That's a prohibition. Don't do this. Well, this is a prohibition. God says that he prohibits our feet from slipping. He would not allow it to happen as long as we trust in him. That's great assurance. That's security. That's security. And there's a second prohibition here. It says in verse 3, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I think that's a statement against those who believe that God sleeps. In fact, this statement is a rebuttal of the gods of the heathen. Because the gods of the heathen, they actually sleep. They actually sleep. We have one case in the book of 1 Kings. You recall when Elijah had the encounter with the prophets of Baal, that great contest to see if their God can really bring forth or call fire from heaven. And so there was this great contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And to make a long story short, in verse 27, Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal because he admonished them to ask their God to call down fire from heaven. Let me just read that in verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 18. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So the sacrifice is prepared, and Elijah said to them, call upon your God to consume the sacrifice. Verse 26. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. It's a long time calling upon a god. This is what they were saying, oh Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made. You see, the heathens, they have to do things to appease their God for him to answer. That's what they're doing here. They're seeking to appease him. But in verse 27, 1 Kings chapter 18, it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. If he's a god, call him out." And here it is. Elijah said, "Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened." Elijah said, maybe Baal is letting himself off somewhere. Maybe he had too much food the day before. Or maybe he's asleep. The point here is that the gods of the heathen, they are inactive. They slumber. They are lazy. They become drowsy. They become slothful and indolent. But the psalmist says that Yahweh, the God of Israel, is never inactive. He never sleeps. When we are sleeping at night, which we need to do, we have to sleep. All right, some people work at nights, of course, but we have to find sleep at some point during the day to rest and revive our bodies and our minds. But it is not so with Yahweh, our God. He does not need to sleep. He's always active on our behalf, unlike the gods of the heathen. And so we are secured always. God does not abrogate his responsibilities. He's always working on our behalf. The next point is that the Lord will guard us at all times. As our guardian, he will guard us at all times. Notice in verses 5 and 6, Psalm 121, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." You recall back in the day when soldiers go to war, their weapons would be on their right side. And so the Lord is the psalmist's weapon, as it were, his protector. "The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night." You see that? Day and night. God will guard his children at all times, whether in the daytime or in the nighttime. When it says that the sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night, we're not sure exactly what it's speaking about here, but it seems as if it's pointing to the ancients who believe that the shade, taking shade in the sun, from the sun, will protect them from the harmful effects of the sun and the moon. Of course, there are things that are called sunstroke and, I guess, moonstroke also. But the point the psalmist is making here is that God will protect and guard his children at all times, daytime and nighttime. When we are awake, when we are asleep, he watches over us. And that's comfort. The shade from the sun is a symbol of protection. Protection. "The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night." Next, "The Lord will guard us from all evil." All evil. Notice in verse 7, "He will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he taught his disciples to pray? He taught them, and deliver us from all evil, or the evil one. When you think of the amount of evil that lurks, it's amazing how much we ought to praise God for his protection. Because every step that we make, every place that we go, there is evil lurking that we cannot see. But God sees and he protects us and he keeps us. Sometimes in his own providence, he would prevent us from going certain places unbeknownst to us that would be a place of danger. And he prevents us from going. Now, the Apostle Paul experienced the holding back, as it were, of the Spirit when he wanted to go and preach in a certain place, and the Spirit of God did not allow him to go. We don't know the reason why. But I think it's often the case with us, too, that sometimes God protects us from dangers and evil that we have not seen. And we praise him for that. And so we pray, deliver us from all evil, and he will keep your soul. And finally, the Lord will guard us everywhere. Everywhere. Notice in verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. So you think of the Israelites who set out on pilgrimage as they go out from the houses. And they march up to Jerusalem. And he guards them. And then when they get to the temple and they celebrate the feast day and they make their way back home, they're coming in, as it were. The Lord guards them. I want to apply this to our lives, because our lives is like a pilgrimage. In fact, life itself is like a pilgrimage, whether one is a believer in Christ or not. Life is like a pilgrimage. And on this pilgrimage, there are some who will not make it to the end of this journey, as it were. And the end of the Christian pilgrimage is heaven itself. For the unbeliever, the pilgrimage on earth will end in death on earth, and after death, there will be judgment. And the Bible says that all those who do not believe in Christ and die at the point of, if they are not Christians or believers in Jesus Christ, or if they're not serving him at the point of death, there will be judgment. And unfortunately, there is a place called the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 26. And so unfortunately, those who are on this pilgrimage but are not following Jesus Christ, it will not end very well for them. But for us, God's people, this pilgrimage that we are on will not end in death. Our pilgrimage will end in the very presence of God. And when we die, this is not the end of our journey or pilgrimage. Our pilgrimage will end in heaven, in the very presence of God. That's what we look forward to. That's where our heads are looking forward to. That's where our eyes are looking forward to, heaven itself. And you know what? Even after we die, the Lord will guard us, even after death. Because notice the last phrase in verse 8, Psalm 121, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And so God will guard us forever, at all times, throughout all eternity. He will be our protector. He will be our keeper. He will be our guardian. So as we start out in this year, let us have this assurance, this confidence that God is with us, that He's our guardian, and He will go with us. Our responsibility is to look towards Him, to find our help in God and in God alone, and look towards Him every day of our lives. What a beautiful chapter in the Bible to encourage us as you continue this journey. There are those who are just going out in the Christian life. There are children who will be born in January. They're just coming into this world. They just begin their pilgrimage. We pray that the Lord will guard such young ones all the days of their lives. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for being with us, for protecting us, for preserving us, even when we do not see the dangers that lie ahead of us and around us. You are always with us. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for taking care of your children. May you bless each one who is present here this morning. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us. And so, Lord, we commit our lives to you afresh at the beginning of this year. And we again confess our faith in you. We believe in you, we love you, and thank you so much for loving us and for being with us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.